This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
This is Tech Web.
Computers.
Technology.
Gadgets.
And other geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast.
And
on Facebook. And check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on. Tune in. Drop on.
Welcome to episode 274 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 1st of February 2014. Tech Webcast is recorded every Sunday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us on Facebook.com/Tech Webcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Steve, Jen, Jacob, Hannah, and Gadget Girl.
Steve, how are you, buddy?
Doing pretty good.
I need to pull you up about that. You said the wrong day. It's actually Saturday. It's not Sunday, mate. That's all good.
Oops.
All right. Who do we have on today? Jennifer, do you want to read some names out?
Hi, yeah. So our guest today, well, we have a wonderful guest, Mr. Keith Teer, is with us.
Yes, we do, yep.
And, yeah. And Gadget Girl's with us as well.
Yes, welcome, Gadget Girl. Good to have you on.
Yep, and Hannah Silver.
Hello.
Hello, Hannah.
Hello. And we have Mr. Jacob Jones and Steve and you, Brad, yes. And myself.
And
we are missing two people, though.
We are indeed, and it's actually Jody's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Jody.
Yes, happy birthday, Yay. Jody.
With a Y.
Jody with a Y.
Yes, that's correct. And also, Andrew's not here. He's out doing other things.
Mm-hmm. Is he buying a house?
I think he's looking at baby stuff.
He's congratulations to Andrew Cunningham. Yeah. He is having a baby.
Yes, but he's not.
That would be quite.
And buying a house.
He's having a baby. That's funny.
He's having a baby and his wife's buying a house.
That's funny. And welcome, Keith. How are you, mate? Good to have you on.
I'm good. Nice to be here.
Good stuff.
Thanks for having me.
And also we got Hannah on. Hello, Hannah.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. You're just woken up or something? Or?
I just woken up. Don't judge me. No, it's only 1 o'clock.
It's all good. Steve, how are you, mate? Welcome.
Doing pretty good. I don't know. Nothing really going on over here. It's been pretty quiet.
All right. Good stuff. We got video today, too, from Keith. And
yeah, we got video for Keith good coming
stuff.
Up.
Yep. Good stuff. Jacob Jones, hello.
Hello, Brad. How are you today, sir?
I'm very well, thanks. And you're looking into getting a mixer and some other new things.
Yes, I am.
Well, tell Steve about it.
Yeah, basically, tell me. I'm wanting to get upgrades so I can do podcasting, like if Brad dramatically drops out. Mm. Like if his internet goes out or his power goes out.
Yeah, there's a lot of buzzing on the line. Yeah, that's correct. Yes. So Jay, you're looking into getting a Behringer mixer, right?
Yes.
Okay, good stuff. And and another microphone.
Yes, sir.
Good stuff. All right. We can't wait to hear from you when you get that.
We might still be able to talk to about it later on.
Sure. Let's talk to Hannah for a minute. We've got some news coming up very shortly, Jennifer. Is that correct?
We do have some news coming up.
Can't wait to talk about that. Hannah, where have you been for the past month?
So a couple of days ago, I just got back from a trip. We went to the States and Israel and Tokyo.
Wow.
And had an amazing time.
Good
lucky
stuff.
Us.
Yes, indeed. So what was it like flying over there and stuff, and you know? that sort of thing?
We took a 14-hour direct flight from Melbourne to LA, which means two things. One, it means you're flying back in time. Because left, I think, on a Friday at 11:30 in the morning, and we landed in LA on Friday at 7:30 in the morning.
Jeez.
So we actually flew back in time. Plus, it means that day literally turns into night. So the first day, we actually went out to Venice Beach. And when my body thought that it should be nighttime, I was sitting in the beach on the sunshine. And I cannot describe to you how wrong it felt to be sitting in the sunshine in the middle of the night. I felt like an alien.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was the flight over to the States. And then we were in LA for two nights and then Dallas for two nights visiting my auntie. And then we did New York for 10 nights just in time to be caught inside the polar vortex, which was crazy cold, freezing, just insane.
I got a question.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jacob.
Did you – I know they have them all over – I'm not sure if they have them in New York, but have you tried the In-N-Out burger?
You know what? So we were in LA. We were actually staying just down the street from an In-N-Out Burger. And on our last night, we were going to go there for dinner. But in the meantime, we met somebody and he's like, "No, man, don't go to In-N-Out Burger. Go to Fat Burger. They've got better burgers there." So we actually ate at Fat Burger. And then I told a friend who lives in LA that we ate at Fat Burger. And he replied saying, "Are you sure you ate at Fat Burger? Are you sure you didn't eat it In-N-Out?" I was like, "No, we ditched In-N-Out for Fat Burger."
I gotta say something, you guys. It's Gash Girl.
Go ahead.
I saw Danny Thomas, the night he died, I saw him at Fat Burger. So like he had a Fat Burger and then he died.
Wow.
So yeah.
What's it?
Yep.
Exactly.
It was probably very good.
Oh, yeah. What a good way to go out.
Interesting. And the food was nice, Anna. What else did you have there besides hamburgers?
What else did we eat? Oh, my God. The burgers are actually what I remember the most because there were some really great ones. The best burger I think we had was in New York in the Rockefeller Center. I can't remember the name of the place now, of course. That's very handy. But everywhere that we ate was really tasty. When we were in Dallas with my auntie's family, on the second night they took us out for some typical Texan dining to this place that looked like a wood lodge, and there was like heads of animals stuck up all around the place, and you heard people talking with southern accents, and we ate Mexican food, and they made the guacamole in front of us at our table, and they stuffed up a bit of our order, so they're like, "I'm very sorry, sir, I'll take off $20 off your order," and which is like crazy customer service that we just don't get in Australia.
No, we don't.
And so that was a great Mexican meal as well.
And how did you handle the money and stuff when you changed it over in that to US and that?
Money was fine. I won't talk about that.
Okay. Steve, any questions?
One. I'm kind of wondering why. I live in Texas, so you didn't see me. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, you know what? There was a bunch of people that I didn't see. We had two nights, and that was it, in Dallas, and with my auntie and her family, who I hadn't seen in quite a number of years. So it was just like there was a lot. We were just talking nonstop, and there was no time to talk to anybody else except for my family. So I'm sorry we didn't get to see each other. No, I'll tell you one more funny thing that happened in Dallas. So Dallas has one tram line, or if you like, a trolley. And I think they might have a few different trolleys that go on this line, but you get on it for free and it's like it's a tourist attraction. It's not really to get around the city. It bumbles along pretty slowly. So we were out in the city with my auntie and my cousins, and they're like, "Hey, let's go on the Dallas trolley." So we finally get there and we get on the trolley, and it's a tram that they brought over from Melbourne. So there we were in Dallas riding a Melbourne tram. Of course, I come from Melbourne and I ride Melbourne trams all the time. And this was an old school sort of tram from pre-80s, like it would have been decommissioned. I forgot now when it was decommissioned, around about 1980. But when I was at school, they were still running trams that style. So I was taking trams just like that one, but slightly newer to get to school. So, yeah, it was pretty funny to be in Dallas and ride a Melbourne tram.
Wow, that's unbelievable. That is,
I have a good question.
Mention Creepy Doll real quick.
That is so cool, Hannah. Keith T, do you have any questions?
Oh, whoops.
Keith T, do you have any questions?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, my mic was turned off.
No, you're right, mate.
Yeah.
You have any questions for Hannah?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay, all right.
I'm envious.
Have you got any plans coming to Australia, Keith, at all? Or?
I don't have any current plans, but, you know, my partner in Just On Me lives there in Melbourne.
Yeah,
so,
he does.
And he's just been here.
Okay.
So we get to see each other a lot, and I've booked flights to Australia twice and ended up not coming on both occasions. So I got to do that.
Yeah, you please do. You have to. Yeah, we'll have to catch up. Yeah, he was on last week actually talking about your app and stuff and that sort of thing.
Oh, was he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was. Yep. He was. Yeah, yeah.
Could people understand his Russian?
He can. Yes, he has good accent.
I have one more question for Hannah.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Yeah. How did you cope with the cold air when you went around?
It was difficult to cope with the cold air. In Melbourne, we complain about our winters. We think that it's pretty miserable down here where it gets to like 12 degrees Celsius or 10 degrees. So when we were caught in temperatures between negative 6 degrees Celsius and negative 14, it was like the feeling actually felt like when I went outside and I was wearing 5 layers of clothing on my top plus a feather coat, I would go outside and it would feel like there was this giant hand coming down from the heavens,
wow,
and pushing me down into the ground and saying, "You should not feel good and comfortable." It was a very strange and foreign feeling, and I hope to never feel it ever again.
You shall not pass.
It was crazy. And we got caught in a blizzard, the one that happened just a few days after New Year's. And it was, you know, it was crazy. It was wonderful to see snow. We don't get to see snow in Melbourne ever. So it was really wonderful to be in snow. But, yeah, to just be outside was painful.
Did you make a snowman?
Despite wearing so many clothes.
Did you make
snowman snowballs?
Did you make any snowmans or throw any snowballs?
Didn't make any snowmen, but I did throw a few snowballs at my boyfriend when he wasn't looking.
What did he say?
Much to my amusement. He just took it.
Just be careful you don't have the guy from Elf. He'll have an automatic on you.
Okay. Jennifer, do you have any questions before we go to the news?
I would like to know how your trip to Japan was.
Yeah, so we had a week in Tokyo, and we only got to see we only went to about 3 or 4 different areas in Tokyo. Of course, Tokyo is massive. It has a population of 35 million, something like that. I better put a disclaimer on. I don't know, someone can check Wikipedia for me later. Whatever it is huge. That is huge when you compare it to Australia, which has about 20 million in the entire country. So for Tokyo, there's just, because there's so many people, there's things happening all the time. One of the things I liked was there were these trucks that would drive around in the street, huge billboard trucks, and they'd sell, for example, they'd be advertising bands, and they'd have the music of the new album playing from the truck while this huge billboard drove past with a picture of the band.
Oh, that's clever.
So I was really pleased to see that there is a active and functioning music industry in Tokyo, which is very different in Australia, where you can't, it's very difficult to make money off music. And what else about Tokyo? Everything is cute. The people are so nice. You just as people walking down the street, and you can just sense it off them that the Japanese people, they're just so warm and lovely, such lovely people.
Opposite of your trip to New York, I'm sure. That's
well, no, actually, I have to say that we loved the people in New York as well. Okay. We were staying on the Upper West Side. We unfortunately only got into Brooklyn one time. We mainly were staying, we went around Manhattan looking at stuff. But no, we love the people in New York. And actually, it's very, very rare for me to ever go to another place in the world. And I'm lucky now that I've been to a few different places, a few different countries. And normally I visit and I think, well, this is nice. But I'm going to be glad to go home to Melbourne. New York was probably the first place in my whole life where I thought, yeah, I could live here.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay, Diane, do you have a question?
Yeah, you know, not that I'm too obsessed with death, but I was wondering about Japan and, you know, the whole nuclear meltdown, because we don't hear, like, there's some underground news, quote, news places where you hear about it all the time, but on the mainstream news here, we don't hear anything about the nuclear reactors. And there's literally people on the West Coast with Geiger counters freaking out because all that stuff is coming over to America. So did you get any kind of sense of the Japanese freaking out about their food or the air quality, you know, anything to do with the nuclear reactors?
Sure.
Did anybody talk about that?
Yeah, well, so we were only in Tokyo, and on Sunday we went to Yoyogi Park. And stuff is always going on in that park on Sundays. And so we did actually come across a protest, protesting against nuclear and I can't remember what else. But it was very, it was a pretty small protest. I know they went marching along the street and then ended up in the park. And there was only, look, maybe it was 100 people. So that's pretty small when you're in a city of 35 million. That was the only thing that I saw. But our friend, we were hanging out with a friend of ours who lives there, and he was telling us that, yes, there definitely is a movement of people who are anti-nuclear. But the problem is, the problem that Japan has is basically nuclear at the moment is its only source of energy. If they're not to use nuclear for their energy, then they're going to have to import like coal or whatever from other countries, which is going to be a whole lot more expensive. So they are in a quandary about their nuclear uses.
And were you okay there during the dolphin deal when they were doing the dolphins?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Jennifer, let's jump into the news and then we'll come back to Hannah and then Keith and talk about more about this.
Okay.
Stuff.
All right, let's jump in the news. Now, let me ask you, Brad, do you want to go through all the news stories at once, or would you like for us to pause at the end?
Let's do the first option you said.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so we'll run through all the stories. So the first story is coming from Mac Rumors and is about SwiftKey Note. So, you know, there was we were talking about the story last week. Well, a little bit more has developed on it. SwiftKey Note is indeed real, and it launched this past Thursday on January 30th as a note-taking app that optionally integrates with Evernote's popular suite of apps. So the app offers several new features that allows for faster and easier note-taking, including automatic word suggestions based on context and personalized auto-correction. And SwiftKey's suggestion and auto-correct features learn from over time, over based on people's previous text entries and their basically their behavior within the app. So it's very, you know, in my opinion, this is great. I guess we're not stopping after each story, but I just want to say I'm happy that SwiftKey has partnered up with Evernote and they're bringing it to create an app called SwiftKey Note and to bring it to iOS. So if you haven't checked it out yet, be certain to check that out. And moving right along, another story from at Mac Rumors. This is about Red Bull TV and the Apple TV. So Apple, on this past Tuesday, has expanded its lineup to include the Red Bull TV channel on its Apple TV set-top box. So, you know, kind of like, I guess, what was it, in the past 6 months or so, they've added quite a few channels, and now this is their latest addition to their channel lineup. And this is kind of like a sports station. They have kind of those extreme sports is what they offer, and then they also have a lot of Red Bull branding. There is also an iOS app available for Red Bull TV that's been out for a few years. So definitely check that out. Fun sports to watch there. So if you like the X Games kind of stuff, you'll like Red Bull TV. And the next story is coming from Engadget. It is about my cable provider, Mr. Time Warner Cable. Yes, I call him a him for some reason. I don't know why. But Time Warner Cable is to improve network in New York City and LA and promises faster internet and more reliability and better service. They're calling it TWC Max with two X's, and the extra X is supposed to mean it's better. Well, at least that's what they want us to think. The plan is to deliver three times faster internet speeds for every customer, except those that are on the everyday low price tier, and those guys should also see an increase in speed as well. So Time Warner is going to upgrade its network hubs in those cities, and it's going to retire its analog channels in LA in favor of digital offerings. They already did that in New York City, and they're doing this in order to increase more bandwidth, free up bandwidth for more customers in Southern California. The telco will also continue its expansion of its free Wi-Fi networks that business customers and folks on standard or better plans are using, and folks will also have the option to schedule same day appointments when they're having problems, which is outstanding. Also they're saying that they're going to bring some more on demand content as well, and they're going to also launch a new set top box with six tuners and increased storage capacity later in 2014. Next story coming from Engadget. It is called Make Evernote Your Own with this latest iOS update. So in this story, they're actually showing an image of three different iOS devices, and each one is running Evernote, and each one looks completely different. One is green, one is white, the other one is black. And so what they're doing here is they're illustrating that now you can make Evernote your own by customizing with color themes and also customizing how it syncs up. So definitely want to take a look at the new updates in Evernote if you're an Evernote user. And if you're not, check it out. I think it's something that you should give a shot. Okay, moving on along to Business Insider's latest story about the Tonight Show. Oh, you know what? That was a story that I already had up because I thought was interesting. Never mind. That's not in our news lineup. It was about the Tonight Show laying off its entire staff. That's not tech news. I'm sorry about that.
Wow, really?
I had it in my open tabs.
Wait, tell us all about that, Jennifer. That sounds interesting.
Really? Yeah, sounds horrible. What's going on?
Yeah.
I just closed the tab. Let me see here. So, okay. So according to Business Insider, the entire Tonight Show has been laid off as Jimmy Fallon moves his show from Burbank to New York City. So, you know, NBC Universal plans to lay off the entire Tonight Show staff, all 164 Burbank employees, when the late night show moves from California to New York next month. And that's what that story is about. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, I guess, though, if they're picking up a whole show and moving it across the country, maybe they gave an option for some of them to go and they didn't want to move, or I don't know.
Yeah, but Jimmy's writers are way better than Jay's. I mean, Jimmy's got his whole set of guys that, you know, I mean, he's not going to use Jay's people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. You're right. He's going to want his team, right? So.
Right.
Yeah. Does that make sense? So the new show is going to, I'm sorry, the Jay Leno is set to depart on, to depart the Tonight Show on February 6th. And his final guest is going to be Billy Crystal, who was also his first ever guest on the LA-based program 22 years ago. And Fallon will take over the spot on February 17th. And all of his guests, actually his first guest will be Will Smith and U2. Wow. Big names. That should be a good show.
Are they going to, did they say they're going to move the whole set, or are they going to use the Jay Leno set?
I think they're going to do the whole set. I mean, if they're picking up and moving, they didn't say anything about the set, but I would think that they change the setup. So we'll see.
Jimmy is already in New York, so he's not going to, I mean, he's just staying in New York.
He's staying in New York. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, his show is in New York, so he's not going anywhere. Jay is just leaving from L.A., you know? Yeah. That's all that's happening. Yeah.
So, sorry for popping that. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Keith.
I was going to say, you know, if we moved Tech Webcast from Australia to San Francisco, we'd have to let you guys go as well.
Well,
no.
You would have to move. KFT, you can pay us to move to U.S.
Well, yeah,
that'd be a nice day.
Hannah, would you move to the US?
Well, yeah, maybe. I'm not ready to yet. I still want to live a little, some more life in Melbourne. But yeah, maybe in a few years' time, I might find myself in New York. Who knows?
All right,
let's do a house swap, and I'll move to Melbourne, and you move out here. Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
I thought you were going to say wife swap or something.
Okay, let's not go there. Let's not go there. Steve, let's not go there, mate. Okay, Jennifer, what's the next story?
Next story is coming from Business Insider. Microsoft to name Satya Nadella as CEO and may remove Bill Gates as chairman. So they have chosen their next CEO, and this is according to Bloomberg, and they're saying it will be Satya Nadella, and he's an executive vice president at the company right now. Nadella is in charge of Microsoft's lucrative cloud and enterprise group. And so the news actually backs up an earlier report coming from Kara Swisher that Microsoft will pick up Nadella as its CEO. She seems to uncover those leads early. She always gets all the good gossip. So that was confirmed now. So Nadella has been with Microsoft for 20 years, and his name has been constantly floated around as one of the top internal candidates for the CEO job. All right, moving right along about Amazon. Amazon, this is coming from The Verge. Amazon is considering a $20 to $40 price hike for Prime service in the United States. And Amazon said that it is considering raising the price of its $79 per year Prime service to customers in the States by another $20 or $40. And the possible increase, which hasn't been finalized, was announced during the company's fourth quarter earnings call. And they're saying this is due to the cost of higher cost of shipping goods. So Prime service was launched. Sure, I'll pause.
I'm sorry. Yeah, can I just tell you something really quick? Because I just had something shipped from Amazon, this Chromebook. And what really ticked me off is that it was their Prime shipping. So they start with FedEx, and then they handed it off to the United States Post Office.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you wanted to use the United States Post Office, you would have, right? But you don't know that. I mean, the last, like, leg or so, they handed it off to the Post Office. I don't know.
I see that all the time. I just got a Chromebook this week, too. Go, all right.
Oh, cool. Okay, good.
But, I see that all the time, too, where they'll start with FedEx and it comes over USPS. It ends up in, you know,
All right. Mm-hmm. Next story, Jennifer. Let's go to the next one.
Okay. Next story is about, here we go. It is about paper. Not the paper you write on, but paper the app, and a new paper the app. I think there's a plethora of paper apps out there, but this is a new one coming from Facebook, and the story is from The Verge. With paper, Facebook just blew its own iPhone app out of the water. Facebook announced a new standalone iPhone app called Paper, And it is more than just a news reading app. It's a complete re-imaging of Facebook itself. So once you've used it, you might not even want to use your standard Facebook app again. It may not replicate every feature of Facebook's main app, but it does fulfill the majority of people's needs. It looks a lot better than what they currently have. So Facebook has taken the standard Facebook news feed, putting it in paper, and it is an immersive, horizontally scrolling set of screens, and it's a new way that you can post to Facebook. And it's also is a news reading app. So it looks kind of similar to Flipboard, so that it will be available on iOS only for the iPhone on February 3rd. And currently it is ad-free. Yay.
Yay.
And the last story is coming from CNET about Apple being the biggest loser in the Google Motorola Lenovo deal. And so they're saying things are about to get tougher for Apple. You know, last Wednesday, Google made the unexpected announcement that it's selling its Motorola Mobility to Chinese PC giant Lenovo for $2.91 billion, which is less than a quarter of what it paid for the handset vendor just a few years ago. Of course, they kept the patents. During the years Google owned it, Motorola lost money and market share, and the relationship caused tension between Google and the Android vendors, particularly Samsung. And it also led other cell phone makers to develop their own software and services rather than push those from Google, which amplifies Android's fragmentation in the market. So overall, Google's purchase of Motorola turned out much better for the iPhone maker, Apple, than Google. And now that's going to change. Google, without Motorola, can go back to focusing on what it does best. That's making a great operating system and apps. It will mend its relationship with Android leader Samsung and the other vendors, and it can concentrate on unifying and streamlining the Android experience rather than worry about bolstering its own hardware operations. And all of those factors mean that Apple may not be able to win over customers as easily as it has in the past.
Great
and
stories.
That is it for the news stories.
Yeah, great stories, Jennifer. Good on you for reading them.
Oh, well. Good job picking them out there.
Yeah, Jacob added a few, and I added the most in. So, the Apple TV.
I added through five.
The Apple TV one is pretty good. Have you used that app yet, Jennifer, the Red Bull one?
The Red Bull TV app? Mm. I haven't. I've played around with the Red Bull channel before on the Roku, but I have not played with it on the Apple TV yet. It's definitely, it's fun to watch, you know.
It's
kind of
like
X Games type stuff.
Yeah, it is. There's anything on there you want to watch, you know, if you're into that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I love it.
I love the flute tog.
The what?
The one they do, their flute togs, where people have to build contraptions to see how far they can fly over the water.
What's that got to do with Red Bull?
Like the Birdman rally.
That's not a Red Bull, is it? I haven't seen that on.
Yeah, the flute tog is part of Red Bull.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll check it out. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good because you might see someone coming in a cow suit or something like that. Or try and make a flying toilet.
All right. Okay, Keith T, do you have any opinions on them stories, mate?
You know, the most interesting one to me is the Facebook paper story, just because it represents a phase in the life of Facebook as it moves from desktop to mobile. It's having to contend with the fact that on mobile it is just an app alongside other apps. And moving to a multi-app Facebook, you know, the paper app, the Facebook app, the Messenger app, and they've announced they're going to do more, indicates that on mobile, you know, they're just like any other app development house. They have to compete for attention. They have to try to get eyeballs. And they have to make apps that focus on very specific use cases that users want to do. And the reason it's interesting to me is we did exactly this with Just Me. We abandoned one centralized app and we're moving towards doing multiple apps. And it's just intriguing to me that they've decided to do the same thing roughly at the same time, obviously from a position of much greater strength. So there must be something in this one app for one use case world.
Do you know what other apps they're looking at making in the future? Have there been other rumors?
They haven't, but they did. They've more or less got an in-house, they call it a lab, And again, another interesting parallel. I run Archimedes Labs, and Just Me came out of Archimedes Labs. They've got, I can't remember the exact name, but it's something lab. And that lab is charged with basically replicating what they've done with paper. And, you know, Zuckerberg keeps talking about Instagram as the poster child for a Facebook that is a multi-app Facebook. They're not going to close down Instagram. They're not rolling Instagram into Facebook. If they could have acquired Snapchat, that would have been another one. So it's like being a holding company with multiple assets.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of why they removed Messenger also, right? And they tried to, you know, get people to even use their text messages within Messenger.
Yeah, exactly. They've removed Messenger from the main app, and now you've got to. They've integrated it back in, so they kind of link to each other. But it's two separate apps. You know, there's something interesting in that, because once you have separate apps, you need to have a communications channel between them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you lose people as they move from app to app. So they're probably building some kind of infrastructure, but it's a walled garden infrastructure. You know, Facebook app A can talk to Facebook app B. And Facebook app C, but it can't talk to WhatsApp or WeChat. So it feels to me like there's an opportunity to build that horizontal communications layer between all apps.
Yeah, I love the Facebook app. I love it because it's only one. There's Messenger and stuff in there. It's really good. Hannah, do you have any views on these stories at all?
I'm not sure. I think I forgot them all.
Okay, that's right. But you've got
an Apple TV.
You can skip past me.
Okay, you have an Apple TV, right? You love the Apple TV.
I do. Yeah, but like one thing I realized while I was away is how much time I waste. And there's certain things I do in my life, which is just like, really, I'm doing that instead of, yeah. So it's sort of, I'm going to try and watch less TV.
Okay, fair enough. That's cool. That's fair enough. What was the phone service like over there when you were in the US?
I didn't have roaming switched on. Yeah, I can't answer that.
All right, Steve, what about you? What's your view on these stories?
Actually, I do have one in particular that I'm interested in, which is Amazon raising the prices of Amazon Prime. Right, now, they're saying that it's shipping the main reason why they're raising the prices, but I think it has more to do with some other things as well. I'll give you an example. For quite a while, they've always been very unsell their books, trying to compete with other stores and so forth, and especially their bestsellers selling below cost, which is one of their loss leaders. Another thing you got to look at too is their Kindle Fire series of tablets. They've been selling those at cost or below cost as well, and I think this is starting to affect Amazon, where they have to raise their prices. Now, supposedly, they do that with their Kindle Fire, and then they're going to make it back, you know, from people buying off of their Amazon Prime, which is television shows and videos and things like that. So I think it's much more than just shipping.
Yeah, I love Amazon. I buy a lot of stuff off there when they can ship to Australia. It's really cool. Jacob, do you have any views on these stories at all, mate?
Not really, but I put a better picture of Salta on in the chat there.
Okay, well, go to that story you were talking about this morning with iOS 7 or whatever it is, iOS 8 or whatever it is.
Well, yeah,
mention that, mate.
Well, basically they're going to make iOS 8 more health people.
Yeah, for helper. Yeah.
Health nuts.
Yeah, like a new watch and stuff and that sort of thing. And yeah, which would be quite interesting. So,
Really? So it'll be like with the, what's it called? The quantified self. So their iOS 8 will be kind of all around the quantified self.
Yeah.
Yep. And that isn't like for sure, but that's the rumor. And it's based on the sensors that are in the iPhone 5S that now are capable of doing a better job even than the Nike stuff and the Fitbit stuff of tracking what you do during the day. But they haven't built any software on top of those sensors yet. Now, there are some apps in the App Store that you can download now that used to be really bad, but on the iPhone 5S, they're really good because they're using those sensors. Yeah. So that's the underlying reason why people think they're going to do this.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I love the iPhone 5. That's a great phone. Keith, you have an iPhone 5S, right?
Mm-hmm. I do. I do have one. A gold one, actually. Look.
Oh, nice. There you go. Steve, bring that up on the screen, Steve.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's up there now.
Okay, cool. Yeah. No, I love the iPhone. Diane, what about you? What have you been up to? You're making apps or something?
Well, I have this thing, Gadget Girl Apps. These are apps for girls that don't suck.
Okay.
And I don't know. You're supposed to laugh after that. But at any rate, I'll come back on and tell you guys about it. But essentially, I started they're cosmetic apps. And maybe Keith or one of you guys might know. I need some cosmetic company contacts to pitch them to. But they're free apps, and they're very, very cool. Because most apps for girls just are so lame. They're just so stupid, and they're way too pink.
Wow.
So
what you've got to do is, on YouTube, there's all these teenage American women who do these cosmetics reviews.
Right.
And two of them in particular have become millionaires and gone and bought a huge apartment in LA recently, and they're like 19 years old, and they have millions of viewers. You got to get, I don't know their names, but
I think it's Michelle Phan, or
is that one?
Yeah, they're teaching people to how to wear makeup. But you know what I was thinking? I was thinking I might go on the Shark Show. You know the Shark Show?
No.
You guys get that? Have you ever seen it? Yeah, that would be so fun. So that's cool. Kind of what I'm thinking in the back. I know, wouldn't that be a blast? So I'm kind of thinking I might pitch it to them. So I don't know. I'll let you guys know.
All right, let us know.
But you guys in Australia, you've never heard of that show. It's a really cool show.
No, I haven't heard of it.
It's basically venture capitalists, and you're pitching your ideas to them live on TV.
Wow. Do you know it, Hannah? Have you heard of it?
Oh, you mean Shark Tank?
No. Shark Tank, very much. Shark Tank. There you go.
Shark Tank, yeah.
Shark Tank, right. Okay, yeah. Check it out.
But, you know, they want like 50% of your company for $50,000.
They right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
You got to avoid those guys.
So, are there apps on the App Store, Diane?
No, not yet. No, not yet. I have the Gadget Girl apps, you know, name, so nobody can rip me off again.
Cool. Good stuff.
And, but like I said, I'll let you know when I get them going.
All right. Come back on when you've got them apps ready to go out.
Yeah. Out and stuff. Yeah, I will.
All right. Keith T, what have you been up to? Give us a quick rundown on what you've been up to, mate.
My life has been dominated by two things. I'm starting to raise a fund for Archimedes Labs so that we can keep doing what we've been doing for the last 2 years. We've got 13 companies now in the portfolio, and a lot of them have been very successful, and we did it all with $1 million over the last 2 years. We paid back our investors two times over within a year. So we kind of proved to ourselves that we kind of know what we're doing. So now we're going to go and raise a bigger fund, probably around $20, $25 million to keep doing that. So that's taken a lot of my time. And then working with Alex Komarov on Just Me, we've made a huge decision, which I can't even tell you about, but we have an awesome, awesome new thing we're going to be doing after Chance that is going to either be nothing or everything. I don't know which, but it's a very big idea to do with what we were talking about before, which is I don't know if you've ever seen it. If you're in a social networking app and you're talking to someone who doesn't have the same chat app as you, and they say, let's exchange our Kick address or our Facebook address or whatever. A lot of that goes on because people are not in the same apps.
Yeah.
So Just Me is going to focus on that problem. And we've come up with what I think is a really interesting solution.
Nice. Okay.
Chance, can you tell us about it?
Well, hang on, Jacob. Let him finish.
So Chance is doing really well. It's we did the second version just this week. Let me just pull up the live stats and see what it's saying right now. The first version was really big in the Spanish-speaking world, mainly because it got reviewed very favorably in a couple of Spanish blogs, and then that spread to Latin America. So if I look right now, 25% of the people on Chance right now are from Russia.
Wow.
And that's because a Russian blog reviewed the new version. And so we've got this like Google map all lit up. It's basically USA number one, Spain number two, Russia number three. Chance for us is a bit of an experiment. Chance isn't meant to be a definitive product. It's actually meant to be an experiment in anonymous private conversations to see whether it's possible to build a world in which horny guys don't scare away nice women. Because most of the anonymous private chat apps, that's what happens. It kind of, you get these gross guys who hit on women in the most ridiculous way, and then the women just say, screw it, I don't want to use this app anymore, it's full of idiots. So we tried to build an app where you really can meet strangers, like in the old days when you used to get pen pals. And if a bad guy comes along, you can just block him. And if he gets blocked three times, he's blocked for the day. And if he gets blocked 3 days in a row, he's blocked for life. And it creates this kind of possibility of the community organizing itself to make the app allow nice people to meet other nice people. That's basically the idea. And so,
how do you know if it's a nice person or not?
You know, you have to react to what they do.
True.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Because we've seen a similar thing with for those of us who have been on Google Plus using Hangouts over the last 2 years plus, where it started, where it was strangers meeting strangers and making new friends and having a lovely time. Meanwhile, also just having the occasional sexual predator who you'd have to block. How I have two questions for you. One, how are you going to deal with people getting blocked and then just creating a new profile and getting back on? And second thing, how are you going to deal with people who get blocked, not because they deserve to be blocked, but because someone has a personal vendetta and goes, stuff you, I'm blocking you because I don't like you. And then they get blocked out of their account. They don't deserve it.
Yeah, that does happen. So the first one, We don't have any profiles on Chance, interestingly enough. We use a special signature that we put onto the phone. So you don't actually have an account. It's your phone or your device that's blocked, actually, not you. So you'd have to change your device to be unblocked. And if you behave badly again, you know, there's only so many devices somebody can have. However, we did think about something, which is, you know, people who behave badly, they're only bad because they do it to people who don't want to see it. There are other people who might want to see it.
Yeah.
So what we thought is, instead of blocking them from the app, what we might do is create a new place in the app called Hell or Purgatory. or maybe Purgatory. And people will get sent there. And if they're there, they can talk to other people who are also there, but not to anyone who isn't there. Mm-hmm. And that would allow, because we don't want to censor even explicit sexual behavior is okay if it's consensual. Sure. So we don't want to be a censor, but we don't want to empower people to abuse other people. Mm. So that's that. The other thing is we're trying to develop an algorithm that weights the block. So depending on who blocks you,
again,
we will take it more or less seriously based on their behavior over a period of time.
Wow.
And if we can do that, that will mean that blocks will be weighted. So if I block someone, it might count for more weight than if, you know, somebody who blocks nice people in retaliation for them not wanting to see their body does it.
Yeah, right. Okay, cool. That's really interesting.
Can I... Can I slide in just really quick and tell you guys something about Seesaw? I don't know if anybody here remembers Seesaw, but it was in the late 90s. I reviewed this thing. It was video chat, and you could have up to 10 screens on at the same time, simultaneously. And at first, when I heard about it, I thought, oh, this is going to be so altruistic. I was thinking, oh, maybe medical, you know, needs, you know, people in remote areas, right? So I go in to interview it. I swear to you, 9 out of 10 of these screens were guys wanking with wedding rings. I couldn't believe it. It was amazing. You know, you give people technology, and what are they doing? It's wow.
Well, that and if you go and if you go to Vine or Instagram and you know the right keywords to search for, it's full of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, some people actually think that the primary reason various apps work is because they figure out a way for that stuff to live without it affecting everyone.
Right. I think Chat Roulette tried to do it, didn't they? Like, they tried to have a diversion where they, when you go to the website and you can choose, do you want to go to the sexy part or do you want to go to the non-sexy part? But I don't know how to, I think by the time they implemented that, it was too late and everyone already was thinking of Chat Roulette as guides wanking, and I think it was too late.
Yep.
Okay, Steve, any questions?
Weirdly enough, there's a lot of girls that do stuff as well, and you kind of wonder why they do it, but
why? Are you saying that girls can't enjoy sex?
No. I think girls can enjoy sex. My whole life proves that girls can enjoy sex, trust me. But having said that, they don't usually do it in public for strangers. And I mean, I'm assuming that girls are a bit deeper than just the physical pleasure. And whereas men sometimes...
I don't
think
you should make any assumptions at all.
Okay, Steve, any questions?
Tell us more. I want to hear more about this.
Steve, let's move
we'll
on.
Talk offline.
Let's move on. Steve, any questions?
Yeah, noting that before you said you didn't want to get rid of the people who, you know, may act up. You don't want to, like, ban them or anything, but... and then you'd, like, put them in hell. Possible maybe you can get... they can talk to other people in hell. I don't know if you can add that in there.
That's exactly the idea. That is the idea.
Yeah. Like they're in jail.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But the truth is, the reason we built Chance actually is nothing to do with the app Chance. It's to do with the back end features that we had to build to support anonymous private chats. The next app we're going to do is going to support anonymous public posts. And what we're actually doing is building the back end to a solution that isn't any of these apps. These apps are just proofs of concept for what we'll end up doing. And I can't really tell you what we'll end up doing because I'm all going to copy it. So I
can't
won't tell
wait.
You,
I can't wait, Keith, for this new app to come out. At the beginning of the show, you told us about that new thing you're working on, but you can't say anything.
And I'll give you one hint. It isn't an app.
Okay, it's not an app. Okay, interesting.
I know. I cannot wait to hear about this
later. I can't wait. Keith, tell us about the show that you're on each week, the Gilmore Gang.
It's run by Steve Gilmore. Steve is a Silicon Valley royalty. He's been a journalist. He's been an analyst. He's a thought leader. He's really a futurist in many ways, although he wouldn't ever call himself that. And he has a bunch of people that, in a very conversational style, talk every week about whatever it is that's preoccupying him or Silicon Valley in general.
Nice.
Different people every week with a core that tends to be the same. I'm not on every week, but I'm on often. Danny Sullivan is on. He's the guy that does Search Engine Watch and all the conferences that cover Google and SEO and all that stuff. He's often on. John Tashek, who is a Salesforce.com strategy guy. He runs strategy for Salesforce.com. Kevin Marks, who also works at Salesforce.com and used to be at Google, is on often. Dan Farber, who's the head of CBS Digital News and CNET, is often on. So, you know, it's a nice revolving group of people. John Borthwick, who runs the BetaWorks Incubator in New York, is on sometimes as well. So it's basically the intention is not to have a big audience, but to have an audience of connectors and decision makers and thinkers who aren't really talking about what happened, but more what is going to happen.
Good stuff. And also he got a new setup or something, didn't he? A new software and that, like some new.
NewTek gave him a TriCaster 860.
Wow.
Which is not the top of the range, it's the one just below the top of the range.
Yep.
But it means he's moved from standard definition to high definition, from three cameras to about six in the studio.
Nice.
And it's starting to get a bit more professional.
Maybe that's what you need, Steve, in your studio, mate.
I think two is enough for me. I mean, I guess I could do an overhead straight, you know, up shot and then underneath or something. I don't know. It'd be a little bit too much for me. I got two.
HD is good.
We were just talking about underneath shots not being appropriate, so we don't want any of those.
No, we don't have that.
Not quite that far, but.
Right. Jacob, do you have any more questions for Keith?
Because
I know every time you come on here and you keep saying to me, I forget.
Do you guys have you used Chance? Do you meet many?
Yeah, I've used it a couple of times, and I met a few people there. They seem pretty nice, but then I'll just close the app. But yeah. Jacob, have you used it?
Yes, but it's still on my iPad, but I just needed the algorithm to get stronger and stronger and stronger. If I wanted to just talk to tech people.
Is there an iPad version coming, Keith, for your apps at all?
Actually, it does work on the iPad. It's pretty primitive. We didn't design it for the iPad, but we did do a special iPad screen so that it could be a universal app. And it's the next phase of that is to let you remember people. It's like, you know, if you go to a bar and if you like someone, you exchange phone numbers. Well, in Chance, you can't do that. There's no way to save someone to a list and reconnect with them. And that is initially on purpose. So the next thing we'll do is make it so you can do that. And that's going to go alongside something that you just said you want. We're going to let people say what they want to talk about. And then you'll choose who you want to talk to from all the people available based on what they want to talk about.
Yeah, that'd be good. That's a good idea. That'd be fun. Hannah, have you got the app yet, or you're not going to use it?
I don't have the app yet, but I think I might get it. Sounds like fun.
It does. It sounds fantastic. Yeah. Hannah, tell us more about where you went and stuff.
So far I haven't talked yet about Israel. I spent a week or so in Israel, and one of the things we did was we went down to the Dead Sea. Do you guys know about what it's like down there?
Was that the one where you had mud on your face?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we just
I've been there on the Jordan side.
Ah, yeah, cool. So we just went to a public beach, and you have to pay an entry fee. And then the Dead Sea is at the lowest point in the world. I can't remember how many meters below sea level it is, but it's the lowest in the whole world. And as a result, there's like no UV there at all. So you can just hang out in the sunshine for a few hours and like not even get a tan. So when we were there, it was warm. It was 25 degrees Celsius. And basically because of the salt content in the water, you float. So we went in the water and we went floating. And there was also mud on the ground, and so the water and the mud contain special minerals. So you basically, it's a tradition, you give yourself your whole body, you do a mud mask, and then afterwards you wash it off. And it was my boyfriend's first time there, and he sort of thought maybe there's like only a placebo effect, you know, that people think, oh, I'm going to the Dead Sea, oh, it's going to be nice on my skin. But it really does leave your skin just
like nothing else. Like, you cannot buy any, there's no moisturizing creams or anything in the shops that leave your skin the same way as just going for a swim in the Dead Sea and doing a mud mask. It's wow. incredible how soft your skin is afterwards.
Okay, Keith T, you have to wrap up now, mate. You have to head off, do you?
I do. I've got three young children who want to have their dinner, and it's 7:04 p.m.
Okay. All right. Where can they get hold of you and stuff and that sort of stuff?
Twitter is actually, I've got the same handle everywhere. KTEARE. So it's @KTEARE on Twitter, KTEARE on Skype, and almost anywhere else you can think of.
All right.
I'm KTEARE.
Good stuff, mate. Thanks for being on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, Keith. Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
That's funny. I was trying to say it real quick.
That's funny, Steve. yeah, Hannah, continue.
Well, that was about it. I don't know if you have any questions about Israel or any other questions about anything else.
Steve,
I do.
Oh, go ahead, Jacob.
What I was going to ask earlier, what was that stuff that you were showing on Google Plus or earlier? That photo?
What was it? The bottle?
Yeah, the bottle that you were. Right. People were saying, the one that said, like, the people were saying it was like a pink liver on the front.
So in Japan, you go to the 7-Eleven and they have this little fridge full of all these different vitamin drinks that you can get. And we were meeting up with our friend and he's like, hey, wait, let's have a drink. And I was like, I'm not really good at drinking alcohol because I tend to catch a cold the next day, particularly in winter. And he said, right, we're going to the 7-Eleven. And he picked up this bottle, this vitamin drink with a picture of a liver on the front of it. And he said, you drink this before you drink alcohol and then you have another one the next day and you won't get sick. And so we did that and I didn't get sick at all. It was amazing. Not even a headache or hangover, nothing. And I'm just trying to find out. I was asking people to help with the translation of what the ingredients are because so far, like, there's a few places here that import food from Japan. But they don't stock this vitamin drink. So I'm just trying to find out what the ingredients are. It possibly has like liver extract in it or just something in it that supports liver function. But I was very impressed with, it was awesome. Jennifer, I got to drink alcohol and not be sick.
Do you drink alcohol and would you drink that?
Well, I drink very rarely. I don't drink every winter. For the last three or four winters, I don't drink alcohol because I teach piano. So the kids come and they cough on my face and they sneeze on my face.
Oh.
So I get sick pretty easily in winter. So, yeah, during winter, I don't drink alcohol. During summer, it's okay, though.
I can't wait for winter. Jennifer, what do you think about this?
Sorry, I was on mute. about the drink with the liver image on it, and if it's good for, you know, I think it's great if people are into drinking alcohol and, you know, and to not get sick and to drink something like this beforehand, then awesome. That's what it was.
Vitamins.
So. What about you, Diane? What do you think?
I drank. Been there, done that.
Okay.
Old school, man. Yeah, I drank plenty. But, that liver thing, I don't know. I would try it if I was still drinking, but I'm not. So, I don't know.
Sounds interesting.
Sounds wild.
Yeah, it does. It does indeed. Steve, what about you?
No, I probably wouldn't try it, but if it's got a picture of liver on it. I did live in Japan for 2 years, and it's kind of amazing some of the unique things that they got over there. I think they also got another one. I don't know if it's Japan per se, but... it's got a little ball embedded in the cap, and you push it into the drink.
Yeah, so it's like a soda drink. Yeah,
you can't drink it all at once or something. I don't know what you want your customers to drink as much as they can, so they buy another one. So it's kind of like strange.
Interesting.
I think Michael Mozart had a couple of those.
Oh yeah, and hey, Gadget Girl, you just mentioned me on Facebook. Tell us about the what you got there.
Yeah. Well, there's two things I want to tell you guys about. First of all, Jennifer, I don't know if you got the same Chromebook. Did you get the Acer C720? Is that the one you got?
No, I got the Samsung one. And I'll tell you, mine was actually, it's a demo one that I'm using for a month. So I'd love to hear about yours because you proactively purchased yours.
Yes, I did. Because first of all, it's $199 on Amazon. And here's a couple of quick notes. I love the battery life. It's killer. I mean, it just really lasts a long time. Very lightweight, solid state. So, you know, you can kind of bang it around a little bit. The downside is that I hate touchpads to begin with, and the touchpad's a little chintzy. I mean, it's really kind of on the cheapo. And especially on the left side of the touchpad, it feels like it's going down further. So, you know, use a mouse, no big deal.
How many inches is the screen on the Acer? Is it a?
I think it's 11. I want to say 11, something like that.
But
it's fine.
Is it slow or is it snappy?
This is super, super speedy. That's another. See, I hate Windows with a passion. Can't stand it. I haven't been on it for years. I can't stand
it.
Windows. So my hard drive cracked. My iMac, so I had to get a new hard drive. In the interim, I was looking for something that I could work on, and there's no way I was going to get a Windows machine. So I did some research. I really like this Chromebook as a, you know, just as a working bit of business. It's nothing spectacular, but for $199, I think it's a really good deal. I really do. One little thing too, kind of a pisser, is the whole print situation. Like when you're out and about and you want to print stuff, you have to go to the cloud, and it's sometimes that can be kind of a hassle. Like it doesn't necessarily, you know, jive up with a printer in the, you know, in your direct vicinity, you know, like a Mac does. It doesn't automatically do that. But other than that, I really like it. And then really, really quick. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
I'm
I was just going
to
say this sounds great. That the Acer one sounds great. The Samsung one, for the record, that I got, this brand new, slow. It's just I'm not impressed with it. It's just so slow. So I'm glad that you love your Acer because I do love the whole idea of the Chromebook. It's just so light and quick and you know. So
every single person who's told me, oh man, they're tracing you and you know you're on Google. I'm like, what am I doing? I don't care. Trace me all you want. I really don't care. I mean, I'm talking about UFOs. Because I'm in Sedona. There's a lot of wacky things here. So we talk about all kinds of things. I don't care. You can trace me all you want. I really don't care. But what I want to tell you guys about is this app. It's called Stop, Breathe, and Think. Mm-hmm. And it was developed by Katie Lang. And the reason I like this so much is basically you're checking in. You know, like it's better than a friend. It's better than a real person because this thing asks, you know, emotionally, physically, you know, how are you? Like, how are you really? And then it tracks that and then it gives you a meditation that, you know, applies to that, right? So you can track your emotional it's like, you know, like I said, who needs therapy? You just check into this thing. It's free. It's not bad.
Well. Okay, Hannah needs to go. Hang on for a sec, guys. Hannah, just want to mention where they can get hold of you.
I am everywhere and I am nowhere.
Okay, you're everywhere and everywhere and all over the place.
If you want, Google me. My name is Hannah Silva, but there's no H on the end of Hannah.
Yes, that's
correct. I'm on YouTube under the name Astrobic, but you'll find it as well if you look for Hannah Silva.
And you're also on Twitter too.
And I'm on Twitter, I'm on Google Plus, I'm on Facebook. It's boring. I'm on all of those things, okay?
Good stuff.
At the same time.
Twitter is not boring. It's fun. I love Twitter.
Yeah, no, Twitter's cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Listing all the social networks is boring.
What do you like better out of all of them, Hannah?
I like Google Plus the best.
Oh, really? I like Facebook better. okay, that's it. Thanks for being on, Hannah.
Thank you for having me on the show, and good to chat to you all.
Indeed.
And goodbye, listeners.
Yes, thank you, Hannah.
All right, see you guys.
Thank you. Enjoy your food, by the way. Yeah, enjoy your breakfast.
Thanks.
Okay, Gadget Girl, go back to you. What else do you want to say about this app?
That well, and there's just one other app, another brain app I want to tell you. It's called Soak Your Head. So soakyourhead.com is where you can get it. And the difference between this and a lot of the other brain apps is that what this does is it forces you to go back. Like, for example, there's a series of numbers, and then you have to go back and kind of, I don't know, you have to try it to see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But it's much better, and there's actual scientific research that has shown that this thing does, you know, ping the parts of your brain that matter. So it's not like a lame-o thing like Crush or something where, you know what I mean? You're actually doing something. You're really working some of your synapses in your brain. So it's kind of cool.
Are they on for the iPhone? Or?
Yeah. And it's all free still.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I just installed that Stomp Breathe and Think one.
Breathe and Think. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
You're going to like You are really going to like that. Yeah, totally. I like that.
Yeah, good suggestion.
So you guys, I got to go, but I will stay in touch, and I thank you so much for being on. I always enjoy, you know, talking to you guys.
No problem. Don't go ahead, Jennifer. Yep.
No, I was just going to ask, you were going to ask the same thing. Where can we find you at? Because I'd love to connect with you. I have a show called Get Nerdy With It, and I want to do an all-girl panel coming up, and I would love to have you on as a guest. I'm putting putting you on the spot, but
yes. Well, there's so much for me to share because I started in 1996. Uh-huh. And so a Gadget GRRL, and if you go to that.com or Twitter or and stuff like that, there's a lot of other wannabes out there that
I found you.
Yeah. That's a whole long story. Yeah, I'm on Facebook, and Brad's always on there.
Yeah, I can hook you up, Jennifer, with her Facebook link.
Awesome. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Gadget, for being on.
Okay, see ya.
Come back anytime, mate.
Bye. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you, bye. Okay, Steve, final thoughts of the show, and what do you want to say? Anything else you want to mention before you go, Steve?
Yeah, I was at maybe ask Jennifer if there's a chance I can get on that all-girl panel, but...
you'd have to do an accent. You'd have to do a female voice. Like use Jacob's little sound changer device or something.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm fine.
How are you today?
Put me at Twitter and chatterbox_live.
Okay. What's your final thoughts of the show, mate?
Oh, it was awesome.
Yep. Awesome. Every show. I can give me on Twitter at Brad Alden Tech Webcast. Jennifer, what about you?
I thought the show was fantastic. I always love talking with Keith Teer, and I was talking with Hannah and hearing about her travels. And this is the first time I met Gadget Girl, so she was great. And of course, Steve, you're wonderful as always. And Jacob, you're so awesome. And Brad, you too, of course, without you wouldn't be coming all together. So great show as always.
Thank you. You
can find me at jenniferruggiero.com or jruggiero on Twitter. And also check out getnerdywithit.com as well.
Cool. And when is that episode going to be? When's that episode start?
So I'll get the next episode up tomorrow morning, actually. I need to finish editing it. We had audio issues. Skype decided to drop off twice in the middle of this past episode, and I just got frustrated. And so so I still have to piece it together and get it up. And we were talking with Dr. Michael Kabay, Mish Kabay is his name. He's a very, very intelligent techie guy. So it's definitely a great show for nerds to tune into. So we'll get that up soon.
Good stuff. And also, when is that other episode is going to be out? Well, the one with the all-girl one.
The all-girl one.
Yeah.
So I am talking with – I've already talked with Jody, and then I would like to get Gadget Girl on as well. And then there's someone else I know named Trisha that I'd like to get her on. So I'm going to aim for next week. I'm pulling this together.
Maybe you should get Lisa on too. Lisa Padilla, her name is.
Lisa. Oh, Lisa, definitely. Yeah. Lisa Padilla.
Yeah,
I'll reach out to Lisa too.
That's going to be a good show. Jacob, what about you? Jacob, what's your final view on the show?
I always love being on the show because I like hearing everybody's points to the news stories and stuff like that. It helps me get better grasp on how to run a proper podcast.
And also, do you want to mention Zarfo, Jacob?
Oh yeah.
Go ahead.
Zarfo is actually doing a lot better this time. They did They got a rebuilt app.
Ah, you're not supposed to say that.
Oop.
Not supposed to say that.
I could probably edit that out.
No, that's good. He wouldn't get it. It's all good. No, there is a new app coming, so don't worry about it. There is a new app coming.
Oh, it's coming. It hasn't been released
yet.
Well,
it's in beta at the moment. Me and Jacob are testing. I'm sure, Jennifer, you may get an invite too to test it out too. And looks good. Looks good. All new design, new developer. Looks good.
Oh, cool. Good.
So
I can't
hopefully
wait.
Andrew will be on next week, and we may ask him about it.
I hope so.
Yep. So do I. I hope so too. Who else going to ask? Is that it?
That's it.
You forgot to ask what my address and stuff was.
Oh, yeah, address. What's your home address, mate? Joke.
No, my Twitter, jazzbot326691z.
Okay, good stuff. And, yeah, that's it. Steve, thanks for being on, mate. Thanks, Jennifer and Jacob.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. Weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running Tech News Podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!